2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Yes, this is my intention here this morning, that we may be blessed by the scripture reading concept of the Holy Spirit having communion with us. This is a day of holy communion with our Lord. And the importance of our mind being able to comprehend that communion of the Holy Spirit, this is something that we are admonished in the spirit of prophecy, that we are to spend time on the Holy Spirit. And I want to read this here from the book Acts of the Apostles, page 50. Acts of the Apostles, page 50. And reading there from paragraph 2. Sister White writes, since this is the means by which we are to receive power, why do we not hunger and thirst for the gift of the Spirit? Why do we not talk of it, pray for it, and preach concerning it? The Lord is more willing to give the Holy Spirit to those who serve Him than parents are to give good gifts to their children. For the daily baptism of the Spirit, every worker should offer his petition to God. Companies of Christian workers should be gathered to ask for special help, for heavenly wisdom, that they may know how to plan and execute wisely. Especially should they pray that God will baptize His chosen ambassadors in mission fields with a rich measure of His Spirit. The presence of the Spirit with God's workers will give the proclamation of truth a power that not all the honor or glory of the world could give. And so, according to this inspired word, I believe we should bow our heads for a moment longer and just especially ask for the Lord to bless us with His Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pause a moment longer for this earnest desire that is generated in our minds, that Your Spirit would come into our midst in a very special manner. Give me words from on high. Inspire me as You have inspired me in preparation, that I may speak under the unction of the Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, it says that we are to pray to receive that Spirit, and we are to preach about it. As I preach concerning it, concerning Him, I should say, it's interesting, the interchange of the Spirit with He and it is often there in Scripture and in the spirit of prophecy, yet I want to emphasize that in the time in which we live, where there are so many modern Adventism ideas that the Spirit is simply the Spirit of the Father and of Jesus, is not a separate person, that we truly seek to understand the importance that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, that he is a person separate from the Father and from Jesus. Why is this so important? And I want to spend this time with you to see the value of knowing that the Holy Spirit is a person, not just a power, not just an it. And not to simply spend the time on proving this, if you're taking notes, I have 9 points here of Scripture, which I'm not going to read. I'm just going to point them out to you. You can check them out for yourself, and I will be referring to some of these texts. But that the Holy Spirit is a person. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, to commence with, it says there that he knows, the Spirit of God has knowledge. It's not just a power. It is a person who has knowledge. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, secondly, in verse 11, this Holy Spirit has a will of his own. He has a will. And thirdly, in Romans chapter 8, verse 27, the Holy Spirit there is declared to have a mind. Fourthly, Romans 15, verse 30, the Holy Spirit can love. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, as we just read it in our scripture reading, he is a person who can commune with us. He's a person. He communes with us. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, sixthly, he can feel grief. We can grieve him. He feels grief. If the Holy Spirit was just the power of God or the Spirit of God himself personally as a person separate from the Spirit, that Spirit cannot feel grief. This Spirit is a person. He feels grief. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, number 7, he can be insulted. How can you insult a power? He is a person. He can be insulted. In Acts chapter 5, verse 9, he can be tempted. And in verses 3 and 4 of Acts 5, he can be lied to. So these 9 points, scripturally simple statements, tell us that we are dealing with a person when we are praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us. With all these items of personal property, we see very emphatically that we are truly engaging with a person. And here we read in the book, The Faith I Live By, page 52, it says in paragraph 2, we need to realize that the Holy Spirit is as much a person as God is a person. The Holy Spirit has a personality, or else he could not bear witness to to our spirits and with our spirits that we are the children of God. There's another, he witnesses to us. He must also be a divine person, else he could not search out the secrets which lie hidden in the mind of God. So there we have a need to understand that he is indeed a person. And does this knowledge have an important part in our salvation? This is what I'd like to enlarge to our minds at this time, especially in reference to a communing exercise. It is interesting that Jesus, in talking to Nicodemus, the Pharisee, he had to explain to Nicodemus the personality of the Holy Spirit. There are people that are not, even in the ministry, who are ignorant of the importance of the Holy Spirit as a person. If you turn with me to John chapter 3, the Gospel of John, reading there in chapter 3. And read there, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus was puzzled with that in verse 4, and then Jesus repeats it in verse 5 and 6. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. There is a problem in the mind of every human being to be able to comprehend that the Spirit of God is a person, because, as Jesus said, he's like the wind. He can be everywhere at the same time. And so we want to understand that this Spirit of God is a person that can communicate with us. And we read it there in the words of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 to 25. Where it had been stated by Christ that we must be born of the Spirit. Well, here in these verse 23, to be born of the Spirit is connected with intelligent communication. Verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now, I've been reading this. We notice what Jesus said, you must be born again of the Spirit. Here, under inspiration, we must be born of the Word. If the Spirit is merely a force, a power, what has the Word to do with such a thing? Because the Spirit is a person who communicates Word. And we are to be born of the Spirit, of the Word. So the Spirit comes to us by way of intelligent communication. And if I open my mind to that communication, something happens inside of me. I mean, to connect myself to the communing of this person, not just by reading on a page and then my own mind reading and trying to comprehend what it says. This is where many people have stayed, on simply reading the Bible and reading it as words on a page. It says here we are to be born of the Word of the Spirit. I must open my mind to a communication of a person. Here we read, when we do that, we read of this person speaking in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 to 4. Here he is. This is a person speaking. And it's none other but the Holy Spirit. Because we can identify here what the Word of God speaks of in reference to that. It says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Who is speaking here? Who is speaking, talking of God like that? Who says, "Give ear, O heavens, I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Who is speaking? Honoring God. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain." Now here is the hint in the word, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain." I'm speaking, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. Rain? And here our mind goes to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. So we have a clear understanding as to who is speaking here, that his doctrine shall fall as the rain. Joel chapter 2, reading there from verse 23, where it says, "Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. My doctrine shall fall as the rain." Who is speaking? It's not the God that he is addressing here. It is the Holy Spirit that is speaking, because "my doctrine shall fall as the rain." In the margin it says, "my doctrine," rather, according to verse 23, For he hath given you the former rain moderately. And that comes in the marginal reading, a teacher of righteousness according to righteousness. He will give you a teacher of righteousness according to righteousness. A teacher is not a power. A teacher is not just merely an essence of somebody. It is a person. And that person says, my doctrine shall fall as the rain. Verse 28 of Joel 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. So very clearly, the Holy Spirit is the one that is to be poured upon God's people as the teacher, as a person, becoming very intimately associated with every individual. The whole thing makes perfect sense when you come to the words of Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1:21, where it says that holy men of God spoke as what? Let's go there. 2 Peter chapter 1, reading verse 21. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Where did it come from? But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So my doctrine shall fall. The holy men of God wrote down what the Holy Spirit said to them. In other words, there was a person beside them or in them speaking to them to write. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And somebody will say, but isn't Jesus the Word? Jesus is the Word, yes, indeed. But how is the Word, Jesus, moved upon us? Jesus is in heaven. How can Jesus, the Word, be transferred to me? And Jesus puts it very, very succinctly. If you turn with me to John chapter 16, the Gospel of John chapter 16, reading there verse 13 and 14. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is to be passed on to us in this way. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, this, notice Jesus isn't saying it, he is saying he. He, the Spirit of truth, when he has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. Ah, Jesus is the Word. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, the Word, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit gives the doctrine of the Word to us. He takes of Jesus the Word and makes it livingly applicable to us. And that is a clarification for us in John 17 when Jesus said in verse 17, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, now we'll come to verse 19, And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So taking that into focus, as Jesus just said, the Spirit will take of me and shall show it to you. He's going to guide you into all truth. And so we have it that here is a person, another person, who brings Jesus, who is in heaven right now, very, very close to us. Let me read from the Spirit of Prophecy. In Desire of Ages, page 671, there in paragraph 2. In describing to his disciples the office work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus sought to inspire them with the joy and hope that inspired his own heart. He rejoiced because of the abundant help he had provided for his church. The Holy Spirit was the highest of all gifts that he could solicit from his Father for the exaltation of his people. The Spirit was to be given as a regenerating agent, and without this, the sacrifice of Christ would have been of no avail. Wow. Did you pick something up here? Jesus died on the cross for us. We hear the report that he died for us, but that sacrifice would be of no avail. Without the regenerating agent, namely the Holy Spirit. This is a very similar statement to what we read in our Sabbath school lesson some weeks ago, where it said that the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish virgins, were destitute of the Holy Spirit, because without the Spirit of God, a knowledge of his word is of no avail. The Spirit was needed for the sacrifice of Christ to be of any avail. The Spirit is needed for the Word of God to be of an avail to us. Jesus is the Word. The Holy Spirit was needed to make Jesus, the Word, accessible by us. There is a personal engagement, a communing. And that's what we read in our scripture reading. The communing of the Holy Spirit. I continue to read this quote. It says, from Desire of Ages here, page 671, the power of evil had been strengthening for centuries, and the submission of men to this satanic captivity was amazing. And don't we see that today? Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. It is the Spirit that makes effectual what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. So Jesus worked out a plan of salvation, and it is the Spirit of God that takes what Jesus has done and makes it meaningful to us. It works out makes effectual what Jesus has done for us. That's why we need to study the Word under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we miss the point. And how many times have you found that what is written in the Word, you missed the point? You need the Holy Spirit as a person to guide you to think straight as to what Jesus is all about. So I keep on reading. Sin could be resisted and overcome only through the mighty agency of the third person of the Godhead, who would come with no modified energy, but in the fullness of divine power. It is the Spirit that makes effectual what has been wrought out by the world's Redeemer. It is by the Spirit that the heart is made pure. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature. Christ has given his Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil and to impress his own character upon his church. So as we study the Word of God that tells us how we are going to be saved, how we are going to be changed from sin to holiness, I need the Holy Spirit as a person, as a teacher of righteousness, according to righteousness in me, so that I can actually connect with that in all reality. You know how hard it is. You can read something and you can know something and you still don't succeed. I need the Holy Spirit to succeed. And so, can I be saved if I reject the Holy Spirit as a person? I need to know that he is a person. Otherwise, the words that I read in the Bible are just words on a page. They must be words that are alive in me. And so, I read again from God's Amazing Grace, page 191, there, reading this. Before offering himself as the sacrificial victim, Christ sought for the most essential and complete gift to bestow upon his followers, a gift that would bring within their reach the boundless resources of grace. What was the gift? I will pray the Father, he said, and he shall give you another comforter. What was that? A gift to bestow upon his followers, so essential and complete that it would bring within their reach the boundless resources of grace. So what I'm reading in the Bible must come into my reach. I must discover it in a living experience. And it is the need of the knowledge of the Holy Spirit as my personal friend that actually brings Jesus into my close proximity. Jesus is in heaven. The Holy Spirit can be here in my heart, in my life. And so it is. And the way that Jesus speaks here, and this comes from the marginal reading of John 14, 16 to 18. Follow the thought through beautifully here. He shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. That's what makes it so hard for people. We can't see the Holy Spirit as a person. So how can he be a person with me? I can't see him. The world can't hear, but he says, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. A person in me. Oh, how can you comprehend that? Jesus was there by the Holy Spirit. He was with them. And Jesus said, but he's going to be not just with you, but in you. And when the Holy Spirit was poured upon them in the day of Pentecost, that's when everything that he had taught them on the external became internal. And we need this. It goes on to say, before this, the Spirit had been in the world from the very beginning of the work of redemption. He had always been there. But the Holy Spirit is Christ's representative and was divested from the personality of humanity and independent thereof. Cumbered with humanity, Christ could not be in every place personally. But the Holy Spirit came, you see. So the powerful meditation that is upon us here is that we need to go beyond the page, the words on the page. We need an appreciation of a person very close to me so that I am actually communing, the communing of a person as I'm studying God's word and as I'm dealing with my experiences. Indeed, the experiences we go through are powerfully chronicled in the spirit of prophecy. And I want to just read a few more scriptures and then come to this climactic statement in the spirit of prophecy that is so precious. Yes, let's come to the realization again of what we read in 2 Peter, how we will read the Bible in a way that becomes a personal walk with God. The Bible becomes more than just words. It becomes a personal relationship, the Bible. Can we comprehend this? Can we get hold of this? Because holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit of God. The Bible is of no private interpretation. That's 2 Peter 1:20. The Bible is of no private interpretation. Many people read the Bible. And that's why there are so many different doctrines contradicting from all the different churches. Because they are applying their Bible reading as their own interpretation. And according to the many different traits of mind and spirits in the human beings, there are many interpretations. But what God intends, what God means by his word, we need the Holy Spirit to make it clear to us. And so it is, let's consider in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 11 to 13. Very, very detailed does Apostle Paul explain this to us. Reading from verse 11. It says, because it must be not my own interpretation, it must be God's thoughts. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So your spirit inside of you, you know exactly what you mean. You're trying to tell me what you mean, and you will often say, he doesn't know what I mean. I can't get it across to him. Because your spirit inside of you is not in me. I've got to listen carefully to hear what you are meaning. So it says, even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The Holy Spirit knows the deep things of God. There it is there in verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 10 said that, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. We want to know the deep things of God, and you can't know them simply by reading the Bible. You need the person who inspired the Bible to be written to make you and me understand God's deep thoughts. Not to misinterpret God. This is so essential. And so verse 14 to 16, there comes the natural man. The natural man will misinterpret God. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. What a profound statement this is. If you are a wise virgin who has the Holy Spirit inside of you, you will be able to make judgments, and no man can judge you. Because if they haven't got the Spirit of God in them, they will misjudge. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The apostle could positively say that they had the mind of Christ. They were in beautiful communion with the Holy Spirit, and they had the mind of Christ. They were not going to misinterpret God. And as we are called upon to the communing of the Holy Spirit, we are called to come into that unity of absolute assurance that the apostles had. But if we follow our natural man, we won't. And this is the hard reality that we meet in the world today, of Christians not being able to see eye to eye. It's a bewildering circumstance today. So what did we see here? That the Holy Spirit is a person who is a teacher, and he will teach us personally, individually, a teacher of righteousness according to righteousness. That's what we read in Joel 2 in the marginal reading. And let's go back to John 14, where Jesus is speaking in verse 26. And now comes the importance of our meditation, that we can open our hearts and receive this beautiful inflowing as we read these words of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 26. Let us follow this through very closely now under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26, where Jesus said, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." You know, I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I've seen him in action where people have lost their memory through alcoholism. And as I shared God's word and they embraced this, their memory came back too, and there was brain recovery by the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit can do. He is a comforter. And Jesus says, "I will not leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you on your own. I'm going to let you come close to me through the Holy Spirit." So there it is. "He will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Chapter 16 of John, verse 13. John 16, verse 13. "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, have you ever been in a situation, which I'm often in? I'm often in this situation. I remember it from my childhood up. I couldn't understand something at school. I couldn't understand something. And I was trying to work out a problem. And I needed a teacher to help me. And the teacher that I had in Germany for the first 2 years of my schooling came up, and if I didn't remember something, she'd screw my ear. That didn't help me at all. I needed a teacher who had compassion, who could come and help me. You have a problem in your life. You need someone to help you through that problem. You need a teacher who has compassion for you. Nobody else could understand your problem, but he could. You need a teacher. Then a really good teacher comes along and explains it to you, and you think, oh, I'm so comforted. The Holy Spirit is that kind of person. That's what we read there in chapter 14, 17, and 18. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. A person who will teach you. So here is now our important meditation. Let's come to Romans 8, 14 to 16. Romans 8. Verse 14 to 16, where it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16 is so precious now. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. My spirit, my intelligent mind is approached by the Holy Spirit if I will open my heart to him. And he will give me internal comfort. He will deal with my problems and give me answers to my problems as I open my heart to him. And so I want to read it here from the book, The Faith I Live By, page 54. A beautiful account here. And let us read it very thoughtfully and slowly. It's from paragraph 2 onwards. The greatness of God is to us incomprehensible. We can't comprehend it. The Lord's throne is in heaven. Yet by his Spirit, he is everywhere present. He has an intimate knowledge of and a personal interest in all the works of his hand. Intimate knowledge, personal interest. Let that sink in. Your own personal need. This Spirit is a person. It was the maker of all things who created the human soul with its capacity for knowing and for loving. And he is not in himself such as to leave the demands of the soul unsatisfied. You have your demands of your soul. You yearn for satisfaction. He is a person who does not leave us unsatisfied. Now follow carefully. No intangible principle, no impersonal essence or mere abstraction can satisfy the needs and longings of human beings in this life of struggle with sin and sorrow and pain. It is not enough to believe in law and force, in things that have no pity, and never hear the cry for help. We need to know of an almighty arm that will hold us up, of an infinite friend that pities us. We need to clasp a hand that is warm, to trust in a heart full of tenderness. And even so, God has in his word revealed himself. Faith I Live By, page 54. Now, stop to really assess what I have just been reading here. I assess this and it nearly brings me to... I have to stop for a moment to get mastery of myself because this is precious to me. I have what is described here, longings of the human being, struggle with sin and sorrow and pain. You have that in your life, and you know what ugly sensations go through your system, and you know that there's no other human being that can really feel like you are feeling at that time. And it feels like the bottom has come out of your world. I know that experience very, very, very much so. And to know that the Holy Spirit is a person who comes to me and I can feel him. I can hold his hand. He is warm. He is real. You need that. I need that. If it's just an abstract essence, that doesn't satisfy. You see, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. The carnal mind cannot comprehend these mysteries. The worldly wise have attempted to explain upon scientific principles the influence of the Spirit of God upon the heart. The least advance in this direction will lead the soul into the mazes of skepticism. The religion of the Bible is simply the mystery of godliness. No human mind can fully understand it, and it is utterly incomprehensible to the unregenerated heart. It cannot be explained, but it can be known by experience. And God wants us to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit so that he can come and speak to us personally, so that I'm not an orphan on my own trying to work myself through them, through these mazes, through these longings of my heart, through these life struggles with sin and sorrow and pain. Oh, to let him come into us as a person as he is. So this is what is contained in our scripture reading. And this is what we want to meditate about all day long. The communing of the Holy Spirit. I want to read it again in its connection with the Father and the Son. 2 Corinthians 13. Now these words become so precious to us that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which only the Holy Spirit can make effective, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, that we can't comprehend because it's too deep and the Holy Spirit grasps the deep things of God. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. The communion of the Holy Ghost, who will bring the grace of Jesus and the love of God into our inward experience. Is this what we need? Communion. A warm word. Can you commune with a mere force? No. To be saved, we need to be able to appropriate and pray effectively according to, once more, Romans 8:26. Another reminder here. As I study this through, I need to study it through again and again because there are so many distractions that take me away from this living appreciation. What was it there in Romans chapter 8 verse 26? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You have groanings inside of your soul that you can't even utter. The Holy Spirit utters it. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I want to be in harmony with the will of God. I want to tune in to God's Spirit, God's way, God's beautiful comfort. It's found in the Holy Spirit, and he is our intercessor from our heart, while Jesus is our intercessor in the heavenly sanctuary. The two work together. If we do not wish to commit this, if we do not wish to be lost, there's one thing I must never commit. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Very serious mistake. It says, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. What's the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? You don't exist. You're not a person. That's what blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is. You don't exist. You are not a person. And the Holy Spirit stands by and says, well, then I can't come in. And you can't be saved. It's as simple as that. When we turn against the sweet influences of the Holy Spirit as a person in our life, when we go to our own interpretations of the Scriptures, we reject the inflowing of God's thoughts to us. How can I be saved? That doesn't work. If I reject the one who brings Jesus into my soul, if I reject the one who is actually trying to get me to see the deep things of God, if I reject that, what hope have I got? This is the sin against the Holy Spirit. But I don't have to do that. I can believe what is written. And when I believe, I will experience it. And let me tell you that this experience that I'm going through, especially at this time, it is so easy to forget and get distracted from the work of the Holy Spirit within. I can start feeling for different things around me that have got nothing to do with God, and I can get so occupied with those things that all of a sudden, oh, where are you? Ever felt that way? And I was just so rejoicing this morning as I was pondering upon the things I'm sharing with you here. I went to sleep last night and I woke up this morning and these beautiful things came to me by the Holy Spirit. I woke up with Him speaking to me. And I was so happy because I sometimes lose that. We want to hold on to it. We don't want to lose Him for one moment. God's presence can be with us unbroken if we don't permit our minds to be distracted from Him. May God bless us to commune and to be in communion with the same Spirit in our lives, each one of us, and we will have precious unity because the same Holy Spirit working in you, the whole same Holy Spirit working in me, is going to produce the unity that Jesus prayed for. May God bless us, is my prayer. Amen.